All right, turn your Bibles there, please, to Matthew chapter 8. And the title of the message this morning is Peace in the Storm. If you've ever been in a storm in life, this message will relate to you. If you've not, and you may be headed for one, or maybe you're coming out of one. We're going to look this morning at the title, Peace in the Storm, and we're going to look at Matthew chapter 8 and read verses 23 through 27, and then we'll pray and get into our message this morning. Matthew chapter 8, beginning with verse 23, the Bible says, "And when he was entered," now this is Jesus, "into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves. But he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him?" So we're going to look this morning at the title, Peace in the Storm. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, we come to you right now, and we thank you for your word, and we thank you for these that have come this morning to hear your word. Help me to be a blessing. Father, I pray if there's one here today that is in the middle of a storm, that we will take some lessons from what we're reading this morning, and help us to understand that you're with us in the times of storms. Lord, there may be one here that's getting prepared to go into a storm, or maybe they're coming out of a storm. Lord, I pray that you help us to be a blessing. If there's one here today that doesn't know you as personal Savior, Lord, they're facing the storms of life without any hope. Father, you're our only hope in the storm, and so I pray that if there's one here that doesn't know that, that they get that settled today. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, this has been a busy weekend at the church, funeral-wise. Kind of different. Yesterday, we had a funeral here for a 35-year-old or year-young man. Yesterday afternoon, and this young man unexpectedly passed away in his sleep. In fact, his body wasn't here. He lived in Florida, and we had a memorial service for him here at the church yesterday, but unexpectedly passed away in his sleep, in fact, last Sunday morning around this time. And then, of course, today we will have the funeral of Brother Floyd Bean, and just about everybody in town knew Floyd Bean. I doubt if there's a head in town that is 15 years or older that has not been looked at by Floyd Bean. Cut every head, I think, probably in Mount Vernon or Jefferson County, and Brother Floyd was a special guy. I didn't know him that long. Dad knew Floyd a lot longer than I did. I just know when he would sit right there and I would shake hands, every time he'd pull me into the pew with him. He had a good grip on him. He was a strong guy. But he battled illness for a long time and finally went home to be with the Lord this past week. Now, thank the Lord, both of these men were saved and they were prepared. This 35-year-old man had accepted Christ as his Savior and he was prepared. He's in heaven today. And so is Floyd Bean. Floyd made those preparations, in fact, not too long ago. But it got me to thinking about the storms that come along in life. You've got two different types of storms there in those two families. You've got the unexpected storm. This young man, 35 years old, many of you know Ron and Shirley Moyer. He was Ron and Shirley's grandson. He had been working on the Gulf oil spill in Florida with BP and had sleep apnea. They believe that's what killed him. He died in his sleep. But what a shock to the family. You don't expect a 35-year-old young man to suddenly pass away. But, it made me think, boy, the storms in life can come quickly, can't they? They can come unexpectedly. Everything can be going real good and fine. And all of a sudden, boom, you find yourself in the midst of a storm. That family was grieving and they were half in shock because this time last week, he was okay. And then he dies in his sleep. And so storms can come suddenly. And then you have the older man's family. Brother Floyd Bean, he had been in a long storm. I went to visit him last, I think it was Monday or Tuesday, and I didn't even get to see him because they had to take him back to his bedroom because he just didn't feel like being there in his living room. But he had a hospital bed there in his living room, and, trying to keep him just as comfortable as they could. But they were telling me about how different family members would come in around the clock and sit with Brother Floyd during his illness. That's a long storm. So you got two storms there. You've got the unexpected storm that crops up, just like that, and then you have the storm that's kind of long and drawn out with sickness there in the family. Now, there's three facts about storms in life that I think we all realize. Number one, either you are getting ready to go into a storm, or you are already in the middle of a storm, or you're coming out of a storm. And that's kind of how life goes. In spite of some of the positive thinking and positive preaching that we hear today, storms in life just happen. Amen? They just happen, and you can't wish them away. You can't have positive thinking and say, boy, I'm just going to think positive thoughts, and I'll never face a storm. No, that's not going to happen. You're probably getting ready to go into one, or you're right in the midst of one right now. Or you've been in a storm and you're just coming out of it. I want to look at this passage this morning and try to help all of us as we face the storms in life. Now, in the text that I read to you from Matthew chapter 8, the disciples are facing a storm. These guys are in the middle of a storm, and I think there are five things that we see in these verses that we can apply when we're facing the storms in life. First of all, I want to notice the Savior in the storm. Amen? We see the Savior in the storm. Look, if you would, please, at verse 23 of Matthew chapter 8. The Bible says that when He was entered into a ship, His disciples followed Him. The most important thing that we can see when we're going through a storm is that the Lord's with us. If the Savior's not with you in a storm, you're in a world of hurt. You're in some trouble. I don't know how people face their storms in life without the Lord. I guess they just go through them the best that they can. But aren't you glad you've got the Lord to be with you? You've got the Savior when you're going through a storm. I know Floyd Bean's family, they are so appreciative that he came to know the Lord as his Savior. He came late in life, but he came. And he got into church and he was saved and baptized. And as long as he was able to, Floyd was in church on Sunday mornings. And I know his family was so glad to know that the Savior was there as Floyd faced storms and as his family faced storms. My boys, when we go to the barn, we've got a little bonfire set up behind our barn where during the fall of the year we'll go back there and we'll build a fire, you know, and they think that's really neat. That'll go down there with them, and we'll take some marshmallows and we'll roast them and stuff. But last night we went back there behind the barn and got our fire going again, built up the bonfire, and it was about 8 o'clock. And boy, it's dark now, about 8 o'clock. It's dark, you know. And the guys, they've been bugging me all day. Dad, we're going to build a fire. We're going to build a fire. Oh, guys, okay, I'll do it. So they finally talked me into going back there behind the barn and get the bonfire going. So as long as Dad was back there, we had a good time. You know, they had a blast, and they wanted me to tell them ghost stories. So I told them a couple of the old stories that Grandpa Jack had told me when I was little and kind of made me, you know, scared because Grandpa could really tell the stories. But everything was fine. Boy, they just had a great time. And I said, boys, Dad's going to go back up to the house, but you guys stay down here as long as you want. Now, do you think those three boys at 10 and 6 and 3 wanted to stay down there by the bonfire behind the barn? You know what they did, Brother Marvin? Well, we're going in too. We're going in, man. And they, in fact, they didn't want to walk up to the house unless they were right next to me. So here we go, all four, these big Reynolds boys, you know, I'm making brave men out of them. Here we go. We all, you know, we head up to the house. Now, here's the whole point that I'm telling you. Everything was good there in the dark as long as Dad was there. But when Dad was getting ready to head to the house, they were ready to go where Dad was. That's what we see here in verse 23. Notice there where the Bible says, when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. The first thing that I'm telling you and telling me, when we face a storm in life, make sure that the Savior's there. Because if the Savior isn't there and the storms come in your life, I don't know what you're going to do. You're going to be in the dark. You're going to be helpless. And how many people do we know face the storms of life without the Savior? The most important thing when we go through a storm in life and face a storm is making sure the Savior is there. There's an old song goes like this. Here's the chorus. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm. Jesus Christ is our shelter in the time of storm. Turn your Bibles, if you would, please, to the book of Psalm 61. Let's see what the psalmist says. Keep your place there in Matthew 8, because we'll be going back there. But Psalm 61 talks about the shelter in the storm, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our shelter. He's our Savior in the storm. Psalms chapter 61. Look at verse 2, if you would, please. The Bible says, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Anybody ever had an overwhelmed heart? Buddy, going through storms, the old heart gets overwhelmed and you don't know what to do and you don't know where to go. And then he says, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Amen? He's the rock that's higher than I. Verse 3 says, for thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. Boy, aren't you glad for the shelter we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Savior is a rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm. Number 2, let's go back to Matthew chapter 8. We see the Savior in the storm. And then we see the suddenness of the storm. The suddenness. If you go back and look at verse 24, the Bible says, and behold, there arose a great tempest. Now, this came out of nowhere, apparently. But there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves. But he was asleep. Here the Savior now, he's in the storm, but yet the disciples notice the Savior's asleep. And this storm comes up suddenly. Sometimes storms can pop up all of a sudden. You can be doing real good, and boy, you're paying your bills, and all your family's getting along, and everybody's healthy. Boom! Here comes the suddenness of a storm. It makes me think of the day back in 2006 when we had this big windstorm. You would have got a kick out of watching me and Lisa and Thomas here in this church. We were up here. I had been actually out selling insurance at that time, and I knew there was a storm coming because they were telling it on the radio. And I had been over around Dahlgren Belrive area. So I was hustling to get back here because I didn't want to be in my vehicle with this storm coming in. So Lisa and Thomas and I were at the front door here looking out, and here it's raining real hard. But what was wild was all of a sudden, all those trees on the playground come down just like little matchsticks. I'd never seen anything like it. I mean, they just, all of them just, there they went. And, buddy, we took off a running because we thought that tornado was heading right for Mount Vernon Baptist Temple. And so me and Lisa and Thomas, here's what was funny. Here we come running into the auditorium, and we dove under the pews. Now, here we're just like these disciples. Oh, ye of little faith, we were under the pews here in the church building. And, man, we could hear this building popping and cracking. I thought the roof was going to come down. And eventually that's almost what happened. Yeah, it did come down. But, man, we dove under these pews. We were hiding. Now, that came suddenly. We were just looking at a storm, watching it rain, and all of a sudden, man, we were running and getting under these pews because the storm came up suddenly. Have you ever experienced a sudden storm in your life? Everything's going good and you're doing okay, then your child gets injured. Child gets sick. Your boss calls you in and says, we're not going to be able to keep you on anymore, can't pay you. Those are sudden storms that come up in life. And again, if you don't have the Savior in the storm, those sudden storms will knock you down. They'll knock you down for the count, and they'll do a number on you. But you got to be braced for it if you got the Savior with you. We see the suddenness of the storm. Then we see in verse 25, we see the stress of the storm. Now, this is where it gets tough because you're facing a lot of stress. And let me tell you this, as a believer, as a Christian, you're going to be under stress in the storm. It's going to happen. Verse 25, notice please, and his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. Now, get the picture here. You've got these guys who are professional fishermen. And I can just see them. If you picture, you've got these professional fishermen in a boat, and this storm comes up. Well, what do you think they're doing? What would you be doing if you were on this boat in the storm? I bet they're yelling at each other. Hey, Peter, you get over here and hold on to this. Hey, John, you get over here and you grab this rope. And let's see who else over here do this. And let's start throwing water out of the boat. They're all panicking, man. They're under a lot of stress. And they're trying to take care of the thing by themselves until they finally get to the point in verse 25 where they come up and say, Lord, save us, we perish. Now, do you think they really said it like that? Lord, save us, we perish. I doubt it. I bet they were, hey, Lord, hey, Jesus, save us, we're going to die. Now, here's the lesson. How many times when we face storms in life do we try to do like these guys and bail the water out of the boat and grab the sails and grab the ropes until we finally get down to the point where we can't do anything else for ourselves and then we say, Lord, save us, we perish. Shouldn't we do that in the first place? But we try to get ourselves out of our own mess. You may be here this morning. I don't know what storms you might be facing. But you might be trying to figure that thing out yourself. And man, you're trying to look at it and say, well, if I only did this, Who else has done that besides me? Man, if I just do a little more of this, then I can settle this storm. If I only do this a little bit better. Listen, sometimes the Lord, sometimes the Lord allows the storm just so you finally get to the point to say, there's nothing else I can do. I'm going to take my hands off it. Lord, this thing's going down. And I'm heading down with the ship, Lord, unless you do something with it. Help us, Lord. Save us, Lord. We perish. Let me tell you, go to the Savior. He's the only one that can help you through that storm. Turn your Bibles to Psalms chapter 66. Let me show you another passage here. Psalm 66. Did you know, and again, this goes against popular preaching, but did you know that sometimes God is the source of your storm? See, we think it's an outside thing that the devil's the one that causes our storms. Sometimes we cause our storms, don't we? Sometimes we cause self-inflicted storms. But sometimes God is the source of the storm. Look at Psalm 66 and notice verse 10. The Bible says, "For Thou, O God, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried. Thou broughtest us into the net. Thou laidest affliction upon our loins." You're telling me that God is the one that laid the affliction here? Well, wait a minute. I thought God was the one that kept us from having affliction. And if we would just have enough faith, we wouldn't have any affliction. According to that verse right there, God's the one that laid the affliction on the psalmist here. Now, why? Well, let's look at verse 12. "Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but Thou broughtest us out." And there it is, "unto a wealthy place." Look at verse 16. Here's why God does that. Verse 16, "Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what He," notice that, "what He hath done for my soul." Here's the whole point. Sometimes we get too self-sufficient, and we're going to get through that storm, buddy, and I'll hang on to this thing, and I'll get through this storm, till finally we say, "Lord, save us, we perish." And you know why God allows that? So He gets the glory. See, when we get ourselves out of it, we get pretty, you know, "Hey, I got myself out of that mess. I can go through anything now because I got myself out of that storm." No, God says, sometimes I put you through a storm just so you realize that you can't get yourself out of it. And He says there in verse 16, "I will declare what He hath done for my soul." I'm not going to say, "I got myself out of that mess." I'm going to say, "Look what the Lord brought me through. He got me through that storm." So that's the next thing that we see there. We see the stress of the storm. Let's go on to the next point. Number four, we see the solution to the storm. Let's go back to our text, Matthew chapter 8, and look at verse 26. Here they are. "Lord, save us. We perish. Help us out here, Lord. You're laying there asleep. We need some help." Here's the solution, verse 26. "He saith unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then He arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm." Now, notice verse 24. Verse 24 says, "Behold, there arose a" what? "A great tempest." Verse 26 ends, "There was a great calm." I think whenever Jesus said, "Peace be still," or whatever He said at that moment, I don't think there was even a ripple in the water. I think the sun just began to shine, and all of a sudden it went from this great tempest and this great chaotic thing until just all peaceful and calm. Jesus Christ is the solution to the storm in your life. He shows us right there the calm that comes. As long as they were fighting, there was tempest and turmoil. As long as they were trying to solve the problem, as long as they were trying to keep the ship afloat, there was tempest and there was turmoil. Till they came to the Savior and said, "Lord, save us." All of a sudden, the Lord got involved, and it was a great calm. Listen, the Lord can bring calm in your time of storm. He can bring calm. He may not always calm the storm, but He can calm us as we're going through the storm. Has the Lord ever calmed you when you're going through a storm? You know, our first prayer is this, "Lord, take the storm away." But sometimes it ought to be, Lord, see me through this storm. Lord, give me some calm as I go through this. Lord, I'm facing this thing and I can't go through it without You. Lord, give me some calm as I go through this storm that I'm facing in my life. Psalms chapter 107, verse 29. You don't need to turn to it. But here's what it says. Psalms 107 and verse 29. "He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still." The Lord can calm your storm. He can calm those waves that are coming. Now let's go back to Matthew chapter 8, and I'm going to wrap up the message. Matthew chapter 8, let's notice verse 27. We see the great calm. Now let's look at the reaction here. We see the submissiveness of the storm. The submissiveness of the storm. Verse 27. But the men marveled, saying, "What manner of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him?" What kind of man is this? Now, why didn't they know that? Hadn't they been with the Savior and seen the miracles and seen different things? And yet they're just almost just completely caught off guard that the Lord Jesus Christ could command the waves and the sea and cause everything to be calm. We see His humanity in verse 24. He went to sleep. He was physically tired. But right here we see the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. We see His deity as God says, "Calm, sea. I want you to calm down. Winds, calm down." We see the deity of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus had the power to calm, but I want you to notice something, and this is the crux of the message, is the obedience of the storm. If you notice that verse, it says verse 27, "Even the winds and the sea obey Him." There's no problem with obedience when it comes to the winds and the sea, but do we obey Him in the storm? See, the nature obeys Him. He's God. He's the creator, the sustainer of all things. And so when Jesus said, "Peace be still, be calm," they obeyed Him. The problem is with us. See, the storm will obey the Lord. The Lord at any time can stop that storm in your life, whatever storm you're going through. The God's got the power to just stop that thing right now and cause everything to be calm. But you know what? He may be waiting for obedience from you. See, we want that storm to be gone, but the disciples, and again, look at that. It says the winds and the sea obey Him. But the disciples weren't obeying Him. They were the ones of little faith. They could have made it right through that storm fine if they had only been obedient and had the faith that Jesus talked about. Now, here's the good thing. I want you to go to Acts chapter 4. This is the last thing I want to show you. Acts chapter 4, verse 29. They finally got to that point. In Acts chapter 4, you have Peter and John, and they've been preaching and healing people, and they've been arrested, and now it looks like their life is in jeopardy. But I want you to notice the difference. In Matthew chapter 8, they were of little faith. "Lord, save us, we perish." But look at Acts chapter 4 and verse 29. Here they are talking to the Lord. They're praying. Acts 4, 29. "And now, Lord, behold their threatenings." These guys are going through a storm again. They're not in a ship this time, but they've got the people around them are wanting to kill them. Here they say, "Behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word." Isn't that a little bit different than what they said in Matthew chapter 8? "Lord, save us, we perish. We're going down. Lord, aren't you going to do something?" And in the book of Acts, and we know that's because of the Holy Spirit, but we see a change in character here, these disciples. In Matthew chapter 8, the storm obeyed, but they weren't obedient. But in the book of Acts, they were obedient. They said, "Lord, behold the storm here. Behold the threatenings that we're going through. But give us boldness to keep preaching the word." The whole point is this. When you're going through a storm, and again, maybe you're not in a storm right now. Maybe your life has been calm, and boy, the winds have just been a cool breeze in your life, and boy, everything's going good. Hold on. Hate to tell you that, but hold on, because you may be just getting ready to head into a storm. Maybe you're in the middle of it. Man, the waves are crashing and the wind's blowing and you're saying, "Lord, save us, we perish." Make sure the Savior's there in the ship with you. Trust Him. Obey Him. That's the main thing. Obey the Lord. Maybe you're coming out of that storm. Just make sure that the Savior is there. He's the shelter in the time of storm. I'll share a poem with you and I'm done. It's called "God is Still on the Throne." This was written by a lady named Kathy Corley. It goes like this. "When my heart is in distress, when the billows roll and the burdens press, I may not understand just what my Lord has planned, but I know God is still on the throne. At times my soul may be cast down, and the enemy is encamped around. When no hope I see, still I look to Thee, for I know, God, You're still on the throne. I can still give God my praise in the deepest nights and the darkest days. For I know that He chooses best for me, and I know God is still on the throne. God is still on the throne, and the Father still cares for His own. Child, don't despair, for the Lord is there. Yes, God is still on the throne." You think of these two families this week. One is burying a 35-year-old. Sudden storm, unexpectedly. Healthy 1 week, dead the next week. That's a sudden storm. I pray it doesn't happen to any of us, but our family has experienced that. Yours probably has too. If not, I pray you don't go through it, but you're not guaranteed you won't. Then you had Floyd Bean's family. They're going through a storm. Actually, they're probably starting to come out of the storm now. Theirs was one of those storms that was a lingering storm, going through the health problems and trying to make sure that he was okay and a family member was there. You know, and so the funeral actually for them is kind of a culmination of that. But we're all going to face those storms. But if we can remember this little passage in Matthew chapter 8, we see the Savior in the storm. We see the suddenness of the storm. But we see also the submissiveness. And not just the submissiveness of the storm, but our obedience and submissiveness when we go through the storm. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you that we know that you are a shelter in the time of storm. Lord, we're not guaranteed to never have any storms. You tell us that sometimes afflictions come because you're trying to get our attention. Lord, just help us to realize that the most important thing is that the Savior is there in the storm with us. And then, Lord, help us to be obedient to you. Lord, whatever it is that someone may be facing, I pray that you just give them the strength to continue to be obedient, to be submissive, and, Lord, to trust you during the time of storm, Lord, and help them as they go through that. Help us all to learn and to grow and mature as we face these afflictions and these storms in our lives. Lord, we pray that you be with the Bean family today and with the Bradford family, Lord, that lost this young man as well. Lord, be with them as they go through the storm in life, and be with each one of us as we face our storms. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Would you